We are continuing this morning in our series on asking the question, what kind of people ought we to be? What kind of people ought we to be as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and as Liberty Church family as we enter into 2019, month number two already? Here we are. My goodness, okay. What kind of people ought we to be? What kind of people are we? But more than that, what kind of people ought we to be? And over the last couple of weeks, I'm really excited by this series. Over the last couple of weeks, we asked a couple of great messages. 2 weeks ago, George was speaking on a people of power who believe, who expect to ask for the supernatural power of God in our lives. A people of power. Last week, Stan did a great message looking at these passages in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 and linking them together and talking about being a gifted people. A gifted people, people who believe and ask and expect the gifts of God, the spiritual gifts, the supernatural gifts of God, motivated by love, the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great messages, and if you haven't missed those messages, they are online. Actually, the first one's online. Sometime in the middle of this week, the next one, but Stan's message and my message should be online, so keep looking on the website if you want to listen to these messages. I recommend that you do if you haven't heard them, because I think they are key messages to who we are as a church. This morning, we are looking at, specifically following on from these two messages, looking at a prophetic people. A prophetic people. What kind of people ought we to be? A prophetic people. I wonder what comes to mind when we mention prophetic, when I say prophetic. What comes to your mind in terms of, what does that mean? Maybe you think about the great Old Testament prophets, the Isaiahs, the Jeremiahs, the Ezekiels, the Daniels, the others who heard from God and courageously brought the word of God in often difficult circumstances to the people of God and just spoke it out, then spoke out warnings, spoke out rebuke, spoke out encouragement, spoke of the future and God's blessings on his people. Slightly weird. Slightly strange, some of them. God asked them to do some pretty strange things. If you remember John Stevens' message on Ezekiel last year and all the things that God asked him to do, I always have this feeling that these prophets were slightly odd. You know, they were slightly eccentric because God called them to be eccentric. They probably weren't the people you'd invite to a party. They'd probably be controversial and kind of strange. They would. Maybe you would. I don't know. Maybe you like that kind of thing. But anyway, maybe that's what your view of prophets is. Maybe you think of me more modern-day prophets, of which there are many people who really have a prophetic gifting, who are gifts to the church and prophets. One who has is with the Lord now, but I know from speaking to people around church and just how much has meant to people and individual. It was John Paul Jackson. Many of you will have heard of John Paul Jackson. And had a big influence on a number of individuals, speaking prophetically into the lives of many individuals in this church over seasons gone by. And prophecies which people have seen come to pass or are still waiting and expecting to come to pass. People with a track record of speaking something prophetic and believing and seeing these things come to pass. When you think of prophetic, maybe you think of your experiences. It's slightly weird. And people who see strange visions, things that you just don't see, and some of it seems a bit strange, and maybe you're a little bit skeptical. I think for some people, we maybe look on some of the prophetic stuff as being a little bit like Christian fortune telling. If we're honest, we think, you know, what's the difference? Sometimes it comes out and you're thinking, well, okay, what's that? And it can be a little bit like that sometimes. You can see we can be very skeptical of what's prophetic. I think prophecy is a little bit like Marmite. You either love it and you are drawn to it, or a lot of people are like, oh, no, I'm going to be very wary. I'm going to keep well away from that. Let me read some verses from 1 Corinthians 14. Stan mentioned the very start of the verse. Let me just read this passage. It should appear. Now, as Stan mentioned, this follows on from chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. The one that's read at weddings, love is patient, love is kind, all of that. And this follows on from that passage. So it starts with, follow the way of love, as Stan's mentioned already this morning. And eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue, that is a different language, a language which we wouldn't know, which others around us wouldn't know particularly, but a language which we can communicate with God. For anyone who speaks in a tongue or a different language does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue or a different language edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you, this is Paul speaking, I'd like every one of you, all the church in Corinth, all of you, to speak in tongues. But I'd rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Verse 1, he says, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. We focus on that in worship this morning. We've talked about it. And then in verse 5, he says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. Obviously, the whole area of prophecy is important to Paul. The Apostle Paul considered it to be really important to the life of the church. So what is prophecy? What are we talking about? I believe if to sum it up, it's God communicating to people through people. God communicating to people through people. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Now, he's speaking here about Old Testament Scripture, about the prophets in Scripture. But I think it applies across the board to prophecy. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. It didn't come from people. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So God is communicating to people through people. Passing on a message from God to another or to a group of people. Now, the most common experience and what Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians 14 is a spoken message. Intelligible, understandable words which are spoken by somebody and which apply to a person or a group of people or indeed the whole church. But I think there are other prophetic paths and mediums that we can use. For instance, I believe that preaching is prophetic. I believe that actually this morning, as I stand up this morning, and the messages over the last couple of weeks are prophetic because they're not only teaching what is true, but we're saying to God, and in our preparation, we're saying, God, this is a season where I believe you want to bring to light, again, the gifts of the Spirit. You want to speak specifically to Liberty Church and to say something to us about the reignite our passion for the supernatural power of God in our midst. So I believe that is prophetic. That is God speaking to and through us. I believe that worship is prophetic. Very often worship can prevail. I know that I will, and I know other worship leaders will. When I'm preparing worship, I'm saying, God, before we even get to grips with these songs, what do you want to say to your church? Where do you want to lead us in worship? Perhaps you want to lead us into exalting your name. Perhaps that's the focus of our worship, just to lift your name this morning. Perhaps you're taking us into a place of surrender. Perhaps you're taking us into a place of intimacy or even repentance. In our worship, a place where we are crying out for more of you. Is there a particular path that you're taking us as we embark on worship? Music, arts, drama, I think can all be prophetic. We're speaking with Rick this last week. You know, Rick who plays saxophones up in the sound desk. And Rick was saying, you know, we're just talking about the prophetic nature of music, playing an instrument, how powerful it can be, how you can play. And I've experienced this, maybe you have, where somebody's playing something. And simply playing, whether it's drums or keyboard or whatever, can just powerfully move you in a certain way. Maybe strengthen your faith. Maybe lead you. Maybe it conjures up a memory of something or a musical memory that takes you in a path that leads you into something new in God. I think all these mediums can be prophetic. And I believe that we are to be a prophetic people. So what does that mean? What does that mean for Liberty Church in February 2019? I want to look at three aspects of the gift of prophecy to the church this morning. This is really practical teaching instruction, and I believe paves the way for some of the things we're going to be looking at on Thursday night, which I really want to encourage the whole church to be at. If you can be there on Thursday night as we meet together and explore the prophetic in practical ways, this is setting us up, I think, for some of that on Thursday night. First of all, it is a gift for all believers. It's a gift for all believers. We've already talked about this as a gift. It's a grace gift given by God. We can't earn it. God gives it to us. But it's for all believers. And you might say, who, me? Nah, not me. It's not for me. Others maybe. Other slightly strange people or people who are spiritual or people whatever who hear God. Don't do that. That's not to me. I'm much too down to earth. I'm a down to earth kind of person. I'm a down to earth girl or a down to earth guy, and I don't do that kind of thing. And I would say the church needs down to earth prophecy. We need understandable prophetic words that speak to the church in languages and words that we can understand. We are bringing heaven down to earth. That is prophecy. That is the whole sense of let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, are you speaking? Let's bring to earth what you want to say in a way that we can understand and we can apply in a very practical way. The church needs down to earth prophecy. And you say, but I'm not a prophet. That's not me. Well, no one's expecting a modern day Isaiah. That job has already been filled. The application is gone. You can't apply for that. It's done, okay? You cannot be that. Now, I know that there are prophets. We've already talked about people like John Paul Jackson and others. In Ephesians 4, you've maybe heard that term. The Ephesians 4 ministry has been talked about. Now, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. God gave gifts of people. George does some great teaching on this. If you can find George and speak to him, there's great teaching about this. Different kinds of gifting. But there are gifts of people who are prophets, I believe, in the church. There are those with particular prophetic gifting in the church. We hear and we see and we hear from them here in Liberty, even on a Sunday morning. But prophecy is available to all believers. Verse 5, as we read before, I would like every one of you, Paul, all of you in the church to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. I believe we all have the potential to be prophetic. You know, when we were I was preparing this message, actually before that, when we sat down before Christmas and we said, this is the things we want to speak about as a leadership team, thinking this is the subject, this is the top, this is how we're going to divide it up, and this is the one that falls to you, John, prophetic. And I was immediately thought, oh no, oh dear. I was really nervous because I thought, that's not me. Many years in Liberty Church, when a lot of prophetic stuff happening, I've been involved in worship and I felt almost sheltered behind a guitar from some of the things, if I'm very honest, that are going on. And I was really nervous about it, thinking, what do I say? What have I got to say about prophetic? I'm not an expert on prophecy. I'm just an ordinary believer and I can preach and do other things, but preach on prophecy? But as I started to think about it, I thought, I have brought prophetic words to people. I know in the past I've said things to people and it's meant something to them. It's helped them. It's encouraged them. It's comforted them in whatever it might be. I know that I've been involved. I know that I've said things even on a Sunday morning. I'm being surprised at myself. I've said something and thought, and it's tied in with something else that's going on. I know that I've preached prophetic sermons. I know that I have led prophetic worship. And what does it take for us to be prophetic then? You or me or any of us? Do you know, I think it takes us simply to ask this question. God, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying to your people? Is there something you want to say to me that is for someone or some group? A prophetic people are a people who listen. Listen to what God is saying. Now that's a skill, thinking, how on earth do I do that? That's a skill we learn and develop as we hear God. We can develop through our time with God alone, maybe in reading the Bible. Maybe God speaks through that, or in prayer, or in thinking, or imagining, or meditation. It comes out of that relationship with God. But God, and we start to hear God in ways, and maybe just a little bit, thinking, is that you, God? Now, sometimes when we ask that question, we get, boop, or, and there's just nothing. And maybe that's okay. Maybe God doesn't want to say anything. Maybe he's saying, no, it's okay, nothing at the moment. On your way, that's fine. But ask me again tomorrow, or ask me again later on. And I think it's having that sensitivity and that sense of eagerly desiring the gifts that we're constantly opening ourselves. God, are you saying something now in this moment? Is there something for me or something for somebody else that you are speaking through me? It's being open to hearing God. We can and should all hear God, expecting God to speak through you, asking him, what are you saying, God? And when we do that, when we develop that in our lives, we will hear God. He will speak. Maybe not all the time, maybe not the way we expect it, not the things that we expect, but he will. And I think it's something we need to grow in. I believe it's really part of taking ground this year for us all, myself included. So prophecy is given for all believers. Acts chapter 2, when Peter stands up and he quotes the prophet Joel from the Old Testament. What does he say? He says, in the last days, this is them, this is the last days, however long they last, this is the last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Not drip. It's not little pipette or something like that. It's pouring out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. They will prophesy. Who's they? Oh, that would be you, and that would be me. The church needs to hear the down-to-earth word of God spoken. Prophecy is given for all believers. Secondly, it's a gift to the church. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. And there's no doubt, if you read that chapter in chapter 14, that this prophecy is a gift that builds up the church. Stan spoke last week about how often when we glorify the one who has the gift, or we glorify the gift, we put something on a pedestal, oh, they're prophetic, or whatever it might be. But actually, the benefit of the gift, when we have a gift, is as a messenger to pass it on to someone else. And the benefit is for the one who receives. Verse 4 in chapter 14 says, the one who prophesies edifies the church, builds the church. It also says later on in that chapter, in verses 24 and 25, that actually it can be for unbelievers. That when prophecy is happening in a church and unbelievers come in, they fall down in repentance and they begin to worship God. Their lives are transformed. But it's primarily for the church. And what is the purpose of it? Why? What is it? But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Not particularly for speaking into the future or even guidance, although that may well happen. And I'm not ruling out either. But the norm is for strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. For instance, perhaps you've made a big decision. And maybe this has happened to you. There's a big decision you've had to make in life. Maybe you're on the verge of making it. Maybe you've made it and you're thinking, God, have I done the right thing? And somebody comes through the church on a Sunday morning, and maybe they've got something like, I believe there may be someone here today who's on the brink of something or has made a decision, and I want you to know that God is with you. Maybe that's been your experience, and you thought, that is for me. And God has strengthened you in that. I know that when we've been preaching on a particular subject, sometimes you would wrestle with it, you're thinking, is this right? And maybe in that back room, as we've been praying before, or someone else, somebody comes and says, I think God's saying this, and they'll come out with something, you're thinking, gosh, that's it. That's such an affirmation of what we are going to say this morning. And you come in with a new resolve, strengthened and encouraged to know that God is speaking. Maybe you're facing a challenge. Maybe there's something in your life you're facing a challenge. And what you need to hear from somebody is, God is there with you. He is your strength. Put on the armor of God. He is your strength in every situation. Maybe you're going through horrendous pain and grief, and you need to know there's a God there alongside you. And somebody brings something in any setting that just makes you know that God is there, strengthening, encouraging, comforting. It may be a clear message to you. Sometimes it's just a picture or a word or a phrase. You know, sometimes I'm thinking, I get a picture of a birdcage. And that's all I get. And for you, it's just a birdcage. And somebody else thinks that triggers something in them that makes them realize that God is there. It can speak powerfully. And we've got no idea. We're just the messenger, and God works through that powerfully for other people. Sometimes we'll get feedback. Sometimes somebody will come and say, that meant a lot to me. Sometimes we've got no idea, but that's all right. I know that I've given words that have been immensely helpful to others. I've given words sometimes I've got no idea about whether it's been helpful or not. I've received words from people in different ways, an email from David, who we talked about a few weeks ago, which was hugely encouraging and guiding as well to us. And I know God wants to speak to his church, and that prophecy is a gift to the church. And if you're like me, you're probably thinking, but what if I get it wrong? What if I say the wrong thing? What if it's just me? What if it's just as Scrooge would say, a piece of indigested beef or something like that. There's not something like that and I get it wrong. And oh, what if I get it wrong and I feel really embarrassed? I have a fear of embarrassment. This leads to a third point, which is that a gift to be tested. Prophecy is a gift to be tested. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-20. Do not quench the spirit, Paul writes to the Thessalonian church. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. We're not comparing the things that we speak to the Old Testament prophets, okay? We don't have. Anything that you say in prophetic nature doesn't carry the same weight as Isaiah, what Isaiah said, or Jeremiah. It just doesn't. They spoke clearly. They warned and encouraged. Their words became scripture, the authoritative written word of God. I'm not competing with that, and I suggest you don't either. They carry an authority. And any prophecy we bring now is very different. We cannot claim the same authority as the Bible. And I have to say, there are warning bells that go off with me when somebody says, God says. When somebody declares, God says this. Because I think, when you say that, I can't argue with you. I can't test it. That's it? Is that it? How do you know, God says? I've seen that, and I think it can be stand told examples about prophetic words last week that I think actually can be manipulative. And we need to be very careful of that, of when we're hearing things, and we need to test things that are being said. To be honest, very practically, when I think that God is speaking and I know others around me, it's like, do you know, I get a sense. I get a sense that God might be saying, I was just thinking I got this picture and I'm just going to put it out there just to see if it, test it. It's that whole sense of vulnerability, of humility that says, I think God might be saying, will you test it? Does it apply? Does it work? I think that's the humility that we bring our prophetic words with. How do we know if it's right? I don't want to bring damage or hurt to someone. I don't want to guide them in a wrong way. We don't have the full picture. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 of the chapter before says probably prophesy in part. We don't have the full picture. And there are times when we speak something out that it will be something nice and helpful. I think there's been a lot of prophetic stuff which has been a nice picture and helpful to people. Is it something powerful from God? I don't know. Generally not a problem. Sometimes what seems a little thing, as I mentioned before, to us, a little thing which we think is inconsequential can be huge to somebody else. I'd rather risk it and see what happens than hold back when I think God might be saying something. But we need to remember, as we speak, we're speaking to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. And you say, well, what if the thing I have is more direct? What if I think God is saying something very particular that actually is directional for somebody. It's guiding them in a certain direction. It's a stronger word. Maybe it's a word of rebuke. Maybe it's something thinking, whoa, what do I do with that? If you've ever been in that situation. My counsel on that one, this is very practically speaking. If you have something like that, bring it to the church leadership first. Bring it to a leader who will be and say, look, I think I've got this person. Don't just go to the person and bring it to them. If you go to that person, take someone else with you. Bring it under the authority of the church just so that you've got witnesses, you've got people alongside you, you're not delivering that. There's a safe place. Paul goes on in chapter 14, he talks about order in worship, order in prophecy, and I believe that's part of it. We want to worship in an ordered way. God is an ordered God, not a God of chaos. Do these things wisely and test them and then go back to the person. We must make sure there's backup when things like that. It doesn't happen very often, but if you get that sense, then I would urge you to do that. There are guidelines, of course, for testing. Does it line up with the Bible? If what you're saying doesn't line up with the Bible, if I stood up on Sunday morning and said, I believe there's someone here and God is saying, yes, it's right to leave your wife and go off with that other person. That is not God, okay? That contradicts the scriptures. That is not right. That is not the Bible. Or anything like that that contradicts what it is. Does it sit comfortably with your spirit? You know, I've been in the position where I've heard something somebody says and I thought, no, that's not right. I don't get that. I don't understand that. I don't get it. There's some times where I'm thinking that's really challenging, but I believe that could come from God. So trust our spirit sometimes. God gives us a Holy Spirit. Is it confirmed by feedback from someone? Does somebody come and say that was really helpful? What is our motivation? Is it love through service? What is our foundation? Is it through the Lordship of Christ? There is order in prophecy. And Paul says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And prophecy is a greater gift. It's a gift to every believer. It's a gift for the church. It's a gift for us to use, test, evaluate. But as a sum up this morning, as I was preparing this message, and as I was listening to the messages over the last 2 weeks about the whole sense of the power of God, the gifts of God, the prophetic ministry, I'll say that actually I think it was a revelation to me. And something which I wished I'd understood a long time ago. We've been in Liberty Church for 20 years, 21 years. And what came over to me is that how much we need the supernatural power of God. We need it. This is not an optional extra. We don't use the term very often now, but we would call Liberty Church past, and very few people use the terminology, as a charismatic church. What kind of church are you? We're a charismatic church. Charisma talks of the gifts of God. We're a church that believes and moves in the gifts of God. That has been a foundation of Liberty Church. I'll be honest, and I think for a long time, I've thought of the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, as being an optional extra. As being something, the icing on the cake. The thing that gives flavor and life and excitement to church and color. But if you took it away, the church is still the church. You've still got the cake. You've still got something solid and tasty. It may not look as nice. It may not feel as nice. But it's still a cake. But I understand that this is not the icing on the cake. But this is a vital ingredient of the cake. If we do not have the power and presence of God in our midst, if we are not moving in it, the cake will not rise. We have something which is flat and lifeless. Paul talked about eagerly desiring the gifts, not because they were nice to have, but because right essentially, right in the midst of our church life, needs to be the power of God. Without that, the church easily becomes a social club, a religious group, a do-good organization. There's plenty of those around in this world. Plenty of them if you want to join. I want to be in a place where the presence and power of God is transforming lives. Yes? I want to be in a place, in a church, as we move into our building, as we take ground this year, where we see and experience and see lives transformed through the supernatural power of God. Motivated by love, founded on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Paul says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And he's saying, you need these. These are not nice to have. These are vital to the life of the church. I want you all to prophesy, to build the church. As we take ground this year, we do so in the power and presence of God. God who pours out his Spirit. God who delights to give us good gifts. God who is building his church through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. God who is speaking today through men and women, boys and girls. Listen to our children. Listen to that faith and the things that they bring as they speak into our lives. Ordinary believers who simply and humbly ask God, what are you saying, Lord? What are you saying? Will you use me to build your church? What are you saying in this situation? The people who take this not only into the church, but into our lives, into our families, into our workplaces, into our schools, and see the kingdom of God come. I'm very aware that as we talk about taking ground, that I think we've lost ground in the sense on our reliance and our expectation of the supernatural power of God. We have been disappointed in things that we expected to happen, and perhaps we've turned our back or we've let it go. And I believe God, I think this is prophetic. God is calling us again into the power of his Spirit. As Stan said, I think last week, it's not going to look like it's looked before. It's going to look different. I don't know what it's going to look like. But it's God's presence. I want when we meet together for people to come in and to know that God is here. I want when you come in on a Sunday morning to come in with the expectation. As George said many years ago, I think in a sermon, anything could happen in the next half hour. What do we expect from God? What's he going to do amongst us? We are people of courage and expectation to declare the word of God. So, as we close this evening, this is a very practical message, and I just want to encourage us to come on Thursday night. We've got worship planned for Thursday night. We're going to try out a couple of prophetic things to get us all involved. It's going to be all low-key. It's not going to be high pressure. We're not doing anything like that, but we want to encourage us all into prophetic ministry and see what happens. It's a safe place. We're doing it in love. We're doing it under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and it's going to be great. As Stan and I sat down and planned it, I thought, I am so looking forward to this thing which I feel nervous about. It's going to be great, and I would encourage you to come. If you have got life group planned for this week and it's meeting on Thursday night, cancel it, please, and come along on Thursday night. If you've got another night and you want to do life group as well, but I would really encourage the church to come along and be with us on Thursday night as we explore the prophetic gifting, as we expect God and expect his power and expect his presence and take ground in the supernatural power of God. Amen.